And the end is near. This is the Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast. We talk about making plays week to week for winners in the NFL, for Survivor, but also point spreads, totals, money lines, whatever you get out of this. I appreciate it, and I answer all your individual questions about individual games in individual weeks at write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. We are recording this on Thursday morning, December 26th, so two games already done, not much drama in either one, so the Netflix debut doesn't have a lead change. Netflix, what, $300 million? Because what, $150 million per game they played, they paid. They're $300 million to air the NFL using CBS resources and NFL Network Studios, if you caught that, to make sure that they had it right. And it looked right. Combined for no lead changes in either of their two games. Once a team scored, the game was over. Kansas City scored first, game over. Baltimore scored first, game over. We will not talk about the Thursday night game because I'm not sure this will be posted in time for Bears Seahawks. So we will look ahead to triple header Saturday, then Sunday, then Monday. Thanks to Brandon Legal Group for their continued sponsorship of my podcast. Remember, Brandon Legal Group is a full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. What does full service mean? Why don't you request a free consult and find out? 813-902-3576 or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. Stop paying permanent alimony as one example of what they do. Saturday, triple header, all on NFL Network. And you notice NFL Network, this is very rare for them. No pre or post on Christmas. And you're like, well, that's them giving everybody the day off. No. They rented out their building to Netflix. They didn't have facilities. So NFL Network will be back to work in full on Saturday with the three games. And fortunately for them, each of the three games has a team playing for a playoff spot, a likely playoff spot. Chargers in the early game, Broncos in the middle game for those of you hanging on to hope of Cincinnati. Think you're wasting your time. Rams, Cardinals, the nightcap. Chargers are favored by 4 on the road at New England. That seems low at this point for a Patriot team that has shown just a flash here or there the last month or so. We like what we see in Drake May. They have a workhorse back in Ramondre Stevenson. But the Patriot way maintained by this coach who was head coach in waiting and kind of a secret deal for Rob Kraft doesn't look like it's working. Meanwhile, the Chargers off that bad loss to the Buccaneers and a slow start against the Broncos really flipped the switch to defeat the Broncos recently. The number feels low to me. And Chargers certainly look like they can win the game as a minus 218 money line reflects, in my opinion. Bengals at home are a 3.5-point favorite. All my numbers via updated column from Patrick Everson, sports betting expert, Vegas insider. He updated these on Christmas night, always working hard. Patrick, you are the man. Wonderful Twitter account if you find Patrick Everson of Vegas Insider on Twitter. If you can name me a good to great starting quarterback who has started a game against the Bengals this year and lost, I'd love for you to tell me who it is through the first 16 weeks of the season. So go ahead and do your own research and I have been waiting for the Bengals to look the part of the team that went to the Super Bowl just 3 years ago, rolled on the road through the AFC playoffs, won at Kansas City. Remember, they almost did it again if it wasn't for a player committing an inexcusable late hit of all people on Patrick Mahomes. Out of bounds to get Butker closer for a game-winning field goal. I've said multiple times, the Bengals are closer to a total reboot than they are to another Super Bowl appearance. No wonder Burrow is frustrated. Chase still has no new contract. T. Higgins will come off the tag. Burrow seems very tradable, perhaps by his request. After next season, going to be tough to do it with his contract after this season, and the Bengals go back to being the Bengals. Bo Nix is a good, albeit rookie, National Football League starting quarterback. If the Bengals win this game, that will be by far the best starting quarterback they have a win against this year. So I don't think they'll do it. I think there's a lot of value in Denver at Cincinnati with still playoff seeding at stake for Denver off blowing a game where they scored three touchdowns early against Harbaugh and the Chargers, getting 3.5, a plus 145 money line. Total seems low at 49.5. You could go a number of ways here. I don't think any of them involve Cincinnati. Rams in the night game at home against the Cardinals. This reminds me of Kyler Murray's one playoff game where he didn't even want to play late in the game. That was a total no contest against the Rams. That was the first ever Monday night playoff game. I was just researching for fantasy purposes what the heck has been going on with Marvin Harrison Jr. It's been a constant theme throughout the year. It was brought up to Kyler Murray again this week. There's just no explanation for why things aren't better there. James Conner's been really good recently. And Trey McBride, as I told everybody on Fantasy Podcast in August, does not score. Rams are not getting production from Cooper Kupp, but they are getting enough from Stafford, Williams, Nacua. They got Higbee back recently. The Rams have a lot to play for here for a Week 18 potential winner-take-all game against the Seahawks to win the NFC West, as I predicted they would in a Todd Wright Toddcast before the season began, X-ing out the 49ers from winning the division. Rams minus 340 money line here. I would think this is a survivor play for those that haven't used the Rams. And I don't imagine the Rams have been in a lot of spots where it's like, yeah, oh, obvious play for the Rams. They have kind of scuffled their way to a potential division title without obvious spots where you could say, yeah, that's a quote-unquote free square. Moving on to Sunday, Giants at home against Colts. Giants are really bad. Colts barely hanging on. I guess the Colts, could the Colts be eliminated before this game begins based on if the Broncos and Chargers both win? That kind of sounds right to me. Check status on Richardson. You know, maybe Flacco makes one last stand before, I forget what the contract was that he signed with the Colts. The total is very low. Taylor coming off a big redemption week. Clearly the Colts are the play here. Minus 440 money line. I get it. I don't imagine there were many spots maybe after the first week or two where anyone used the Colts. So if you're desperate for a streamer on an anti-Giants play, this is probably it. Saints off being shut out, check status on anybody to help this Saints offense at home against the Raiders. Just stay away from this game, really. Just stay away from this game. I will say Aiden O'Connell is fighting for a job next year. The Raiders will likely draft their new franchise quarterback, something they thought they would do this past year, but Penix was no longer available. Getting Brock Bowers looks like it's pretty good. Does it solve problems? No, but you got a really good, productive player. Problem being the year before you took a tight end too. I'm not going to waste a lot of time here on Raiders Saints because it's not a survivor play and it's not something you want to waste your time on. Same could be said for Jaguars Titans. So let's just scroll forward. Bills laying 9 against the Jets. Bills let New England get out fast a week ago. The Chiefs do have the number one seed and the bye as a result of their win on Christmas. Rodgers and Adams have just been playing their own game of pitch and catch. Perhaps they are going to be a package deal in the offseason, is what they're doing here. Bills minus 455 money line. Bills looking strong, but I guess not yet 100% secure as the 2 seed. Most have already used Buffalo. I would like Buffalo if the number was a little lower. But at 9, no. And I'm certainly not playing the Jets. Total at 47, yeah. I might get interested in the total here. Or some form of over. 47 seems low with what Rodgers and Adams are doing. And knowing that even if the Jets are up 20 in this game, right, Josh Allen just flips the switch and the Bills are going to win by, what, 3? It's going to be a lot of points. Bucks laying 7.5 as of Thursday morning against Carolina. That seems high. Bryce Young has a higher floor in terms of his production since he came off his benching. There's no question about who's running the ball, which seemed to muddle things. The last time the Panthers played the Bucks, there was a series, I believe it was early in the fourth quarter, where the Panthers had a first and goal at the 7-yard line, and Chuba Hubbard never got in the game. Now, you may remember Chuba Hubbard fumbled in overtime, but why in the world would you not use your best player near the goal line in a series of first and goal from the 7? And it was because, for whatever reason, Canales is like, well, we want to get Brooks more involved. We want to get Brooks more involved. That's not the case right now. So, to me, 7.5 is too much for as vulnerable as the Buccaneers are. The Panthers, I like with the points. That's a big money line plus 310. The Bucs have been a popular survivor play for about a month or so. Even some were on them and lost in Dallas. But I don't think this is a spot to play Tampa Bay. If anything, you're playing Carolina money line for the value or the points getting more than a touchdown. Eagles minus 8.5 against Dallas. The Eagles will be an angry bunch in this game. Check status on Jalen Hurts. I still think the Eagles can get by with Kenny Pickett at quarterback. Despite Dallas coming off that Sunday night win against Tampa Bay, next to nothing done offensively in the second half, the only team to have really done much against the Eagles all year offensively is a Jane Daniels-led offense. Cooper Rush is not that kind of a quarterback. So I think Eagles, if you still have them, would be a good survivor play here. I think it's a safe money line play here. I'd like this. I think the spread is low at 8.5 against Dallas. I think people are, look, Dallas is almost 5-0 in their last five. They had the weird block punt play that cost them the win against the Bengals. But they've made their point. They're officially out of the playoff run. The Eagles need this game more. The Eagles are angry. So it just feels like a clean Eagles win with Jalen Hurts or without. Browns are getting 6.5 at home against Dolphins. I guess it's still DTR here until he gets hurt and they have no other choice but to put Jameis back in. I guess that's where I would be. I don't love the Dolphins in cold weather. It's cold. It's not going to be, I don't think, frigid. But the total in this game reflects how few points might be put up. But we know the Dolphins offense is capable of putting up points. I don't love a lot about this game. But if I had to pick a side, I'd pick the Dolphins laying less than the touchdown. It's not a survivor play. Vikings hosting Packers, quite a bit at stake here. Total 48.5. Packers coming off pitching the shutout, albeit on Monday Night Football, so shorter week for the Packers here. The Vikings being a home dog as still of the potential number one seed in the NFC just stands out to me. It just does. So while it's not great value on a money line, it's still or take the point, then the Packers win by one, you push. I think the Vikings are the play here. Commanders laying 4 at home on the Sunday night game against Penix and the Falcons. I think the Falcons are a different team until further notice. This is not the team that was a sinking ship after their two wins against the Bucs and were just plummeting. With Michael Penix, everything looks different. I know it was against the Giants, but you have to compartmentalize things here. I think the Falcons are live here. Commanders only have one game of film on Michael Penix. He took a total of 20 snaps prior to last week. It's not like the Commanders excel defensively. Penix was very limited in what he did. A lot of it involved Bijan Robinson and short throws. He's capable of more. Just seeing a Falcons quarterback not throwing interceptions. I think he had one because he didn't have a touchdown pass, but just move in the pocket. And trust me, Penix just likes to take the snap, go back to a spot and be on time and boom, make the throw. But he's able to do something that Kirk Cousins can't and actually sell the play action or slide a little bit in the pocket. Is this a game where he starts to use his legs? These are two rookie quarterbacks. I'll take the Falcons and the 4 and maybe their money line at +154. Because they're going to know by the time they play, if Carolina can pull off the win at Tampa Bay, they could clinch the division by winning this game. I just think the Falcons suddenly are the most kind of unknown quantity in the NFL with everything in front of them. And in that locker room quietly, it's like, yeah, with this rookie quarterback, it's like a new season. And finally, Yeah, that game got flexed to Sunday night, so it's a little further up Patrick's chart. 49ers-Lions. I see what Patrick did because he still had the Christmas games listed at the bottom. Everything's good. 49ers-Lions. 49ers getting 3.5 at home in a lost season and maybe the end of an era for the 49ers. This team's going to look a lot different next year and in some key areas. Lions have that potential winner-take-all game next week against Minnesota. Unless, and it's always a possibility, Dan Campbell does more stupid things to cost Detroit a game. I don't see this powerful Lions offense not doing enough to win in this spot against the 49er team so shorthanded on offense. So Lions land 3.5 looks like the play. It's not a survivor play. Most of you have already used the Lions. But getting the Lions at laying just 3.5 on the road, -185 money line, seems pretty good to me. That's it. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Write.todd@yahoo.com for any of your specific questions as it relates to any games or plays this weekend. If you have made it through 16 weeks of survivor play, you are much better than me. It's amazing how much volatility we had the first 3 weeks and how little we've had ever since. It just shows me when I play survivor next year how much you learn from the first month of the NFL season about who's really good and who's not. And don't save teams. Don't. If you know a team is good, you might as well go ahead and play them early. And just get through those first few weeks, because then it's going to be a lot easier to find choices the rest of the time. And yeah, you know, maybe once you get real late in the season, you don't have those obvious choices, but there's going to be other choices that develop over time. The Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast, again, write.todd@yahoo.com. The Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group. I hope you are continuing to have an enjoyable holiday, and we'll talk to you next week.